Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and we have a really fun show today. It's going to be what's happening at Round Lake State Park with some old favorites and a new voice, but we'll get to that in a moment because first I'm going to give us a quick weather report. And that kind of relates to Round Lake State Park because it's nice to get out there when it's sunny, but it's nice to get out there even when it's cloudy and snowy. And it looks like that's sort of what it's going to be this week. So we can expect patchy fog, highs in the middle 30s, lows in the low 30s. So it's one of those kind of winter weeks here in Sandpoint. We're all used to them. Chances of snow Wednesday and maybe over the weekend. So look for some cloudy days, but it's really not too cold and not much wind. So we should all be able to get out there. All right, so welcome, listeners, and we have a great show this morning. I'd like to introduce our guests. It is the folks from Round Lake State Park. I'll start with you, Mary McGraw. You are the park manager. Good morning.
Good morning, Julie.
Really great to have you here again. It's always nice to see your smiling face. When I'm not at Round Lake, I get to see you here from time to time. And Mary's right-hand man is Bart Gutke, and Bart, you're a full-time ranger. Hello, Bart.
Hello, Julie. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. And then there's a new face in the studio, and this is the newest ranger at Round Lake State Park, Cole Ross. Hello, Cole.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Great to have the three of you. Well, I think, Mary, we need to start by learning more about Cole. Cole, are you going to tell us about yourself or Mary? All right. You go for it.
Hi, my name is Cole, and I'm a new park ranger at Round Lake State Park. I'm happy to be working at Round Lake. I worked as a seasonal park aide in 2021, and it's been almost a year as a permanent full-time ranger. I've been loving my time here as a park ranger, and I've learned various skill sets, park management concepts, and I've been able to work with a great seasonal and permanent team. It's amazing to do what you love outside at such a beautiful park.
It sure is. Cole, how did you get to be the full-time ranger? What's your background? Did you go to ranger school, or must have been doing something before you came to Round Lake?
Yes, I worked... I worked as a seasonal, like I said, so that kind of got me an in, and I also graduated from California Polytechnic State University, San Luis Obispo, with a degree in park management. So after that, my parents moved up here, and I was just interested in the area and the job, and I've loved it ever since.
Boy, it sounds like a perfect fit, a great degree for this job, and he got to work into learning about Round Lake as a part-time person, and when that full-time spot opened, you got it.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Very
congratulations.
Exciting. Thank you.
All right. Well, Mary, moving on to what's going on in the park. It looks like we want to do a recap of last summer, and there was a lot going on last summer.
Yeah, we've had a lot of interesting things going on. We had some pretty nice new programs going on, and Cole's going to tell us a little bit about the invasive species removal projects that we did that last summer. We're hoping to continue them also this summer.
Yes, so this past fall, we hosted our first event for National Public Lands Day, which is the single largest volunteer day for public lands in the country. We have extensive invasive species and noxious weed issues at Round Lake, including Chinese mystery snails, mullein, knapweed, St. John's wort, and various other species. This led us to focus on invasive species removal for our event. It was a great success, and we were able to remove acres of invasive species in the park, specifically focused in the popular day-use areas. We received wonderful sponsorships from Winter Ridge Natural Foods Market, Babs Pizzeria, and 7B Hauling for snacks, raffle items, lunch, and waste removal. We were excited to work with our community to achieve common goals to foster stewardship of local public lands and to educate them about invasive species identification and removal so that they could replicate the stewardship at other places they love and at their own properties. We hope to host another event this year for National Public Lands Day.
All right, and this is my opportunity to weigh in because I was at that event and I had a great day. I came, I invited some friends, not all of them made it. I thought it would be a great opportunity for people from the Native Plant Society to come on out, and I hope that they will next year because it was a festive mood. People went in groups. We got bags upon bags of invasive species taken out. It was really satisfying. Loved it. And prizes.
Yes, that's the best part, prizes.
Listeners can't see this, but I am wearing, or I was wearing just a moment ago, my prize, and it's this really cute Round Lake State Park baseball cap. And I wear this guy everywhere, you guys. I love it. So I am passing the word about Round Lake.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I enjoyed it. And the lunch was great, too. So, all right. So that was a great day. Next, I see Doug Fur Packets. Who's going to talk to us about that?
I am, Julie. This past summer, in partnership with Idaho Department of Lands, we got a couple hundred packets of what's called MCH, which is the acronym for a very long scientific name. But what it is it's an anti-aggregate pheromone specifically targeted to the Doug fir beetle. Insects communicate primarily through pheromones, and the Doug fir beetle has two main ones. I mean, they have a lot, but for our purposes, we'll talk about the two main ones. The first is when they find a good Doug fir tree that's the right size and the right age and it's the right conditions, they send one out that says, hey, everybody come to me. I found a great tree.
Oh.
Everyone come to me and let's lay eggs in this tree, and the eggs will turn into larvae. The larvae will eat the cambium and flowing layers, and it will kill the tree. So the other pheromone, which is the MCH, is, hey, this tree's full. We've got enough bugs in this tree. You guys go find your own. So that's what we have put on our Doug fir trees in a lot of the campground and the day use areas, basically to replicate that we've got too many bugs in these trees. You guys need to find your own. And it has worked very well. We had less than 5 Doug fir trees die this summer, you know, probably from other natural occurrences, things like that. Most of our Doug firs did very well. Didn't find any evidence of beetles in them, any frass or anything like that. So it was a great success. We've got some great trees. They're kind of thinning out, so we'd like to keep the ones we have. And this summer we're hoping to get even more of those packets and kind of expand our area that we're treating those trees. And hopefully we can keep them for a little bit longer.
Yeah, the Doug firs at Round Lake State Park are so beautiful. And I have a question. Do those little bugs look for trees that are already kind of diseased, or does it not matter? Do you know that?
Great question. I don't know that they specifically look for trees that are already stressed. However, trees that are stressed from drought or other things will make their natural defenses weaker, so they will have a higher mortality rate.
Makes sense. Well, that's a very exciting program. We want to keep every beautiful tree around the lake and in the campground. I love the trees at Round Lake. Cool.
Sure do.
All right. Ice cream bounty program. Who's on that one?
That's everybody's favorite, isn't it?
I think so. How do we get the ice cream, Mary? I want to know.
Well, you know, we've been fighting these invasive snails, the trapdoor snails. And they've been invading the lake, so there's really nothing that we can do except for remove them. And to get help from the general public and our users is we've offered ice cream for a dozen snails. So if you ever wanted to make ice cream out of snails, that's the best way to do it.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah, so all summer we offered the ice cream bounty. We would have people in the park all weekend long hunting snails just for ice cream. It was pretty amazing to see what motivated people to for an ice cream. But we estimate that we removed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000 snails last summer. So in my opinion, the ice cream was definitely worth the snails for us.
Oh, I think so. Where are the snails near the shore? Where are people looking for them?
They have, you can obviously see them a little bit better, the shallower water that they're in. As summer went on, you had to hunt a little bit more for them. So that meant that program was working well. They've started going down into the Kokalala Creek. So a lot of people were able to be very successful in collecting them down there. We always have the snail pail out, so even if the visitor center's not open and you feel like you would like to remove the snails, we encourage you to do that, and then we can take care of them after that. The ice cream, obviously, is only available during visitor center hours. So, yeah, we're going to continue that. I don't the snails reproduce so quickly that I don't know that we'll ever get rid of them. If we can just keep them in check and keep them under control a little bit, that's going to be about the best that we can do, unless something else comes up and there's another method to get rid of them.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're obviously a problem. What is the problem? Are they eating, are they pushing out native snails?
Yeah, exactly. They're very aggressive eaters of, you would think, oh, well, this is good. Originally, they were brought here. A lot of people use them in their aquariums to keep their aquariums clean, to keep, you know, because they eat algae. So they're eating a lot of the food that the native other snails and fish and things are not being, you know, they're just so aggressively eating that it's just taking up their food source. So it's pushing out the native stuff and then taking over because they do reproduce at a very high rate.
Yeah, out of balance.
Out of balance, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if we can keep them in check, we can hopefully maintain a population of native snails and other animals. So we just don't want them taking over that entire area.
Yes, good to hear that. I think listeners know that I'm from Minnesota, and I'm not sure that zebra mussels have become a problem here because we have our way stations checking coming into the state and through Montana, too. But it was really an issue in Minnesota, and at first everyone thought, you know, these aren't so bad because the water would clean up, would become clearer, and then, of course, we realized it really is a problem.
Right.
A big problem. So, yeah, good. I'm happy that they're being controlled to some degree in Round Lake, these snails, the trapdoor snails. Good. Okay. And a loaner program. Loaner program.
Yeah, we have a loaner program, and it's our backpack program, which is a backpack full of different activities that the kids can come and we loan it to them. There's no cost for it. We just have a parent sign for it. And they can come and use backpack. There's all kinds of different activities with different topics, so they can explore the park on their own time at their own pace. They can do that with their parents, with their grandparents, with their siblings. It's a really great activity for the kids to get out, explore, learn about the park, learn about the environment and the resources. We also work in conjunction with Idaho Fish and Game. They supply us with fishing poles and fishing gear, lures, weights, hooks, bobbers, all that good stuff that you need to fish. And we can loan those poles out to people who want to go out and go fishing, get out there and catch some of those fish and enjoy that sport. You just need to be within the Fish and Game rules and regs of having a fishing license, or being, if you're under the age of 14, I believe it is, you just need to be with somebody who has a fishing license.
Yes, and Round Lake is one of our lakes in the Panhandle that has a fairly regular stocking program, at least for trout, and they're decent trout. They put a pretty large trout in, and they are hungry.
Yeah, they stock the lake on a pretty regular basis, especially in the springtime, so it does maintain that population. And a lot of times in the fall, they'll come in and stock it with some really nice fish for the winter time for ice fishing. The lake is considered a family fishing lake, so some of the rules are lifted to encourage kids to catch fish, keep fish, and enjoy the sport of fishing.
Yeah, I see them having fun summer and winter. The kids really appreciate Round Lake. And I also appreciate that you've got so many life jackets available. What a great thing to have available. And what about kayaks? Are those yours or are those somebody else's?
Yeah, we do have the rental program. Also for the boats, we have the canoes, we have kayaks, and we have stand-up paddle boards.
That's nice.
It's fun. Great opportunity to get out on the lake and get away from the shore a little bit.
That's for sure. Well, that was last summer, and that's a lot going on, and it's all going to continue. Next, we're going to move on to winter activities, but we're going to take a short song break before that, and we'll line up our next topics and come back to you listeners. For those of you just joining us, this is KRFY. It's community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. We have been on and off air this summer. We had to move our really large antenna to a new spot, and we're up and running 100% now, but In the meantime, we had just online streaming or really in-town broadcasting, and also a big expense that we had to cover in order to move our tower. So if you haven't renewed your membership yet this year and you're intending to, well, last year and this year, we hope that you'll do that. And you can do it by going to KRFY.org and looking for the Donate tab. It'll walk you through it. You can mail us a check to P.O. Box 2465 Sandpoint, Idaho 83864, or you can give us a call and we'll figure it out at 208-265-2992. All right, on to a song break, and then we're going to be back to hear more about what's happening this winter at Round Lake State Park. And that was Saturday in the Park, a perfect song for our topic today, which is Round Lake State Park. For those of you who've joined us during the song break, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I am Julie Calamine, your Tuesday morning host. And this week we are so lucky to be joined by the folks from Round Lake State Park. And they include Mary McGraw, who is the manager, Bart Gutke, the first full-time ranger, and the new second full-time ranger, Cole Ross. Welcome again.
Thank you.
State Park. I think the rangers want to begin with what's happening wintertime.
What's happening in wintertime? Absolutely. A lot of folks don't realize that we are open in the wintertime. We close our summer road, our normal road, because it's just too steep for the wintertime. And they see that driving by Dufort and think we're closed, when in fact we are open. We have a winter road just a little bit to the east. And there's a lot of fun things to do here in the wintertime. You can camp here. We do plow out about six sites along that winter road throughout the wintertime. One of them does have electric. So if you're brave enough to come out and deal with the cold and have some wonderful camping, probably by yourself, you can do that. And then some other really fun day use things to do, you know, skiing and cross-country snowshoeing. Are a lot of fun. You know, you can walk your dog out there on leash, of course, throughout the trail. Sledding is really fun down that summer road that's closed. It's quite steep. You know, the reason we close it in the wintertime, of course, so it makes a really nice little sled hill. It's not too aggressive, so it's great for the little ones. And the more people that come and sled on that, the better packed down it gets. Really makes for some nice sledding.
Yeah, and it doesn't end with like a big bunch of Doug firs that you run into. It runs right on down to the lake.
So right on down to the lake. Very safe. That's right. Yep. Just right there at the boat launch area, you slow down really nicely. It's great. Speaking about the lake, ice fishing is great when we have the ice, of course. Always a good thing to check the ice as you're going out. Check our phone messages and our Facebook pages. We periodically drill the ice and update with those,
Yeah, and I'm just going to interrupt, Bart. How is it right now? We haven't had super cold weather. We did earlier. Are people out on it?
Great question. People are out on it. The last time we drilled earlier this week, it was about from open water to about 7 inches of ice. Not a lot of real clear ice. A little bit of cloudy, a little bit of the snow that's kind of gotten wet and then refroze. But people are still out on it doing that thing. I will remind folks, we do have natural springs in the lake at different parts, so the ice will naturally be thinner there. And again, just be safe anytime you're out on the ice, no matter what the ice conditions are. Do a lot of drilling, check it, and please be safe. But come out and have fun. Catch a lot of those fish. People have been pulling some wonderful holdover trout out of there this winter, so it's really been nice. And then we've also got our Winter Tracks program, and I'm going to pass it over to Cole to talk about that.
Thank you, Bart. We are partners at Friends of Scotchman Peaks, host a series of environmental education programs called Winter Tracks at Round Lake State Park. They contract with different schools in the county and in North Idaho in Spokane. They bring the kids out to Round Lake State Park, and the volunteers at Friends of Scotchman Peaks teach about mammals, leave no trace, orienteering, a variety of topics that are relevant to kids and the outdoors, especially as they grow up. The kids' ages will range But in general, it's usually middle school age, and we will sometimes teach sessions with the volunteers. But other than that, we're excited to work with them, and we're glad to provide such a great opportunity for local school children.
Yes, I've volunteered with Friends of Scotchman Peak a couple of times for that event, and it's another festive event at the park. And I remember like hot dogs being grilled in the pavilion and lots of snacks and a little fire going to keep the kids warm, and like the tree identification stations and the tracking and just lots of fun happening. The kids seem very excited about it. I think it's a really
fun program.
Yes, a perennial favorite. I love that program. Yeah, and I hope it continues on and on and on because kids do benefit. Good one. All right, what's happening with the campground improvements, you guys? And I see tree houses. What is that?
Yeah, that's some new projects that are coming up. We've been hoping that we would be able to get them started here a little bit earlier than this year, but it's looking like this year is going to be the year. So we're looking at putting in some living pads in the campground, which is going to define the area in which a camper can occupy. So it's going to limit the space that you can use a little bit. But in the long run, the reason we're doing that is to help protect the resource, to get some of those trees growing back, and also to be able to identify areas where we can plant new trees to maintain that canopy so that we, in the summertime, we can have that shady campground and make it a little bit more enjoyable. So we're going to put in the living pads. We're going to extend the upper loop so that it will all be electric and water hookups. So that is something that people really wanted over the years. So we're going to go ahead and upgrade those sites. And widen the road just a twitch, just enough to help make those turns. It's not going to make the campground any bigger. It's not going to make the campsites any bigger, but it'll just make it a little bit nicer to be able to drive the camper through the park. And the tree houses are going to be so much fun. We have gotten some additional monies last year. You may have heard of the ARPA program. I think it's called the American Rescue Plan Act.
With parks, the P must stand for parks.
Actually, it's a program that the federal government put out there where they've offered money to help with some of the COVID relief and the recovery from the COVID time.
And let's just talk about that for a minute, Mary and Bart. Oh, and Cole, too. Oh, my gosh, it was so busy during COVID. Has it calmed down at all?
It has a little bit. It was real busy during COVID. Everybody wanted to get out. It seemed like the outdoors was the only safe place that people could gather. We brought in a lot of business throughout the state. The state of Idaho did really well during that time. A lot of tax revenue coming in, a lot of fees coming in. So we were able to actually benefit from that a little bit. And we're able to be recipients of some of this extra money to help fix some of the things that got broken, to help restore some of the areas, and to help with some of the infrastructure that needed upgrading. But the tree houses are one of the projects that came out of that with the extra money. And what we're going to do is at this time we've identified an area where we're going to put in two tree houses. The tree houses are going to be rental units that will be rentable year-round, and it's going to be just so much fun. I mean, who would not like to stay in a tree house?
I would. I want to hear a little more about it.
We're trying to work with some people that are very knowledgeable in building tree houses. We are in the process of putting out, getting bids and recruiting people that are knowledgeable in this type of construction. So we're not sure exactly where that's going, but I do know that the treehouse masters are some of the people that are interested in working with us and working on that project. So the vision that I have for the treehouse is just going to be so much fun, and hopefully we can make it happen We're looking at possibly this fall to start construction. We're going to do some pre-planning. The person that is awarded the bid is going to be planning and constructing. So that'll make it kind of nice to be able to move that project along. But it's going to be done in conjunction with the campground improvements, because there's going to have to be some site work that's going to be done at that time also. So that's going to be a really fun project. I'm really excited for that one, and I think it will just make the experience much better.
Well,
summer and winter.
Yes, a nice addition for Round Lake and something new for people to check out. And I have so many questions. I'll ask you a couple. Maybe you don't have the answers yet, but we'll find out. Do you see them having, like, electricity, or will they be more rustic?
No, I believe that we are looking at definitely having electricity in the tree houses. Of course, you know, you're going to want lights.
Yes.
In the wintertime, you're going to have some sort of heat. Maybe even a little air conditioning in the summertime, although air conditioning, you know, it's kind of moderate. But yeah, there's definitely going to be electricity in there. Water will be at least to the tree houses, may not be accessible inside. That part of the planning is not confirmed.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's, you know.
How exciting. That's going to really be fun. That'll be a great addition for the park. Looking forward to that. All right, cool. Well, all right, we've talked about tree houses, campground improvements. That is so great. And Mary, I know that you would still like to talk to us about budgeting.
Yeah, budgeting goes back to the improvements and the tree houses. And, you know, over the last couple of years, things have really been interesting for us with the COVID, with the influx of people. It's brought in some new monies to the state. And the governor is being very generous with them. So we are anticipating some monies to help with some of the infrastructure that is in badly need of repair, as upgrades to some of the facilities. Some of the facilities that will be upgraded, the public generally will not necessarily see, because it has to do with sewers and water systems and areas to conduct our work, you know, the shops and tools and stuff like that. A lot of our buildings are very old buildings. For example, our shop and a storage building, which we have over on, you know, public doesn't necessarily see.
Yeah, it's across Duford, isn't it? Kind of on the other side. We don't notice it.
Yeah, not very often. But those buildings were built back in the 50s. And so, you know, they do need some upgrades. We have not identified any specific projects at this point, but just earlier this month, last week, I believe it was, the governor did his State of the State address, and he has really stepped up and is supporting the natural resource field. So he has pledged a lot of money to DEQ to help with the water and sewer issues throughout the communities in Idaho. And he's also dedicated a lot of money to Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation. All of this, of course, has to go through the legislature. And if the legislature and JFAC pass the bills, we potentially could be seeing $100 million coming to our department.
To the Parks Department.
Yeah.
And I think you told me during break there are, was it 33 state parks?
There are 30 state parks. So 30. That money is, I mean, ideally, I don't know if I could spend $100 million, but I could spend a couple million.
Sure. I would like you to.
Yeah. Yes. You know, if I look at my list of projects that need to be taken care of and done, I can very easily spend $2 million. I'm sure that they are not going to give me $2 million, but anything that they would share with Round Lake would be much appreciated. But there are a lot of other state parks in Idaho, and hopefully that everybody's going to be able to get their priorities and get some things that are really going to benefit the people that come to Idaho and the state parks, and that we'll be able to fix up some facilities and maybe create some new experiences in the state parks. And I think the people of Idaho are the ones who are going to definitely benefit from that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You know, our state parks are a gem. They are. We're the gem state, and they are the gem of the gem state. People come here for our wild lands and our parks. And, you know, during COVID and even before, we all knew that our parks, whether they be federal or state, have been loved to death, right? The federal, the national parks are in crisis. And you guys have not maybe had enough budget for many years also. So this is great news.
It is. Really. It is great news. One of the things that we've seen in the last 2 years is the governor and the legislator have changed our fee structure a little bit, which includes doubling the camping and day use fees for out-of-state visitors, which is it's something that we had not really anticipated, and it came in on us pretty fast. But we have seen some effects from that. It did slow down some of the influx of visitors, but what it's doing now is it's allowing more opportunities for local people and people of Idaho to visit our state parks. So this is really going to help this people of Idaho to be able to get into the parks, to be able to make reservations. We're still going to be full on the weekends at Round Lake, but we do have other opportunities during the week to be able to make reservations, to get into the state parks, to do some of the activities, come in and get a loaner backpack, go fishing, rent a boat, just enjoy the nice weather and the great places that we have.
That's right. And, you know, I'm sure folks look at the fee structure from all sides, but it definitely sounds like the emphasis is on seeing that residents have the most opportunity, residents of the state. And to me, that seems like a positive way to do things. You know, of course, I am a resident, so that would be why I might feel that way. But, you know, we're a small state in terms of population, and it's a very important part of daily life to be able to get your state park and have access when you want to. So hopefully that'll continue to work for both residents and non-residents. Good. Well, let's move on to hiring. You've got some positions happening in the spring.
Yes, we are currently planning to hire a few positions for seasonals at Round Lake State Park. So if you're looking for a fun, fulfilling job in the outdoors, you can come gain experience as a seasonal park aide at Round Lake State Park. You can go onto the Idaho State Parks and Recreation website and apply as a seasonal aide at Round Lake State Park, and that application will be forwarded to us, or you can contact us directly and we can give you more information. Please email us and give us a call.
Sure. Cole, tell us about what sorts of jobs the seasonal employees would be working on.
A lot of work with customers and the public in the summer. That is our main priority, is their safety and your safety. So a lot of the time it'll be collecting fees, it will be operating the visitor center, it will be cleaning. We clean restrooms and trash cans regularly to make sure our visitors have the best experience. And also just doing different maintenance projects, working with different tools if you're interested, such as chainsaws and trail work, and just doing all kinds of things. That's one unique thing about Round Lake State Park. You're never just going to be doing one thing. You're going to be able to get experience working in a variety of positions throughout the park.
I would want to have experience in driving those great little Cushman vehicles around. That looks like the most fun part.
Yeah, they are fun and they're very useful.
I always look at that and think, oh man, I could almost work here if I could just only have to do that. It looks fun. So how many seasonal employees will you be hiring?
We're not sure on the exact number just yet. Probably 2 to 3 this year. We have a lot. We're lucky to have a lot of returning seasonals who come back year after year because they love the environment. Also, if you're looking for a great team to work with, a great team of seasonal and permanent employees, Round Lake is definitely the place to apply to.
They certainly seem friendly when I'm there, so you must be treating everybody right. And Mary, during our song break, you mentioned that a full-time position is sometimes filled by more than one person. So there may be quite a few faces that work for a few days.
Right. A lot of times it looks like we got a lot of staff, but what what the issue is we hire about 6 to 7 full-time positions, and we have a lot of retired or people that just are looking for a part-time job, so we hire a lot of part-time people. And this really helps us out. There's a lot of great experiences out there. People have a lot of talents. And if we can get them in there and use those talents to our benefit, and theirs, of course, you know, that just really helps us out and just makes us a really well-rounded crew. We definitely take advantage of those skills that those people have, and it allows us to be more efficient and be able to put the right person on the right job.
Yeah, and it's nice when a person can work the number of hours that they want to. Keeps employees happy, I would think. Happy campers, we'll
say. Happy campers, yeah. We like to have at least a minimum of 2 days a week, but we can do, you know, as much as 5 days a week. So anything in between there, if you're looking for something to do for the winter or the summer, we don't hire too many in the wintertime. We just don't have that much activity going on. But in the summertime, it's a great place to be.
And are you taking applications now? Can people get in touch or send you a resume now?
We can take applications any time of the year. Right now, we are starting to get a few. And what we'll do is here in the next month or so, next 2-3 weeks, we'll be contacting our previous employees, and we'll be seeing if they're going to be coming back, what their plans are. And at that point, we'll make a contact with the applicants and set up interviews and go from there at that point.
Yeah, good. Well, listeners, if you're looking for a fun summer job that sounds like it could be flexible in terms of how many days per week you would like, that sounds like a fun one. All right, there are a couple of things I was thinking of during our interview that I didn't ask you about, and one is the pollinator garden. How is that doing?
The pollinator garden is doing great. It was planted last summer by our friends at Seoul, the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership School. They partnered with a local high school class, and they came out and planted multiple native pollinator plants. We've seen a small bit of growth in that garden, but since the winter has arrived, we can't really access it anymore. But we are hoping to expand that in the future and to maybe make it a larger garden, something that people will come and visit and they can read about.
Yes, nice, a nice educational opportunity. And then that brings me to another question. I seem to remember, was it Master Naturalist helping with this? But you, at one point you were giving presentations in your amphitheater. Will that happen next summer?
Yeah, we're hoping to be able to expand that. Last year we had a lot going on and we did not do as well as we had hoped to. We're going to continue doing that. We're working towards getting some more training, and depending on who we get as seasonals, a lot of time we ask them for their help and their expertise. Master naturalists do come in and help us out occasionally. We had Mary Wells was in last year, and she was doing some impromptu type interpretive programs. She would be out in the trail, and she would just gather around some people, and people would gather around her, and she would talk about whatever was out there, the flowers, maybe a place where the beaver have been real active, or, you know, some point of interest, and go from there. But we're hoping to be able to do more of that, more amphitheater-type activities, junior ranger program. Usually we did them on Saturday mornings, and we'll have to reevaluate that and see what is the best time to do that. But we want to continue those programs and be able to create some of that interest and create stewardship in the young generation.
Yeah, it's nice to have some activities going on, a reason to come out besides walking. It's encouraging for the state park. And then I keep having ideas as we're trying to wind down the interview. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about and just check in on are the great spots if people want to have a small party, the pavilions, right? Those are available.
That's right, yes. We have the two pavilions now. The first one down at the beach is a smaller pavilion. It's suitable for about 25 people, and it's right above the beach, so it's a great place to spend the afternoon having a picnic, doing some activities out on the lake, going fishing, swimming, stuff like that. The second pavilion is still pretty brand new to us. It came online in about 2020, so it had a slow start. It's really picked up in popularity, and it's been popular for family reunions, small weddings, different type of activities like that. And it's suitable for about 50 people.
Yeah, a little larger, and it's very accessible too, which would make it nice if you can't get around that well.
Yeah, it's right there next to the new parking lot, which has accessibility. And of course, off the back of it, you have immediate access to the trails and the beach. So it's pretty centrally located. And like I said, it's been very popular. It's actually a beautiful facility.
Yeah, really pretty. Looks good. Both are very pretty. Different and both beautiful. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of this really fun chat with Round Lake State Park folks. And I'm just wanting to ask, is there anything I've missed or have we covered everything you wanted to?
I think we're doing pretty good. We have a lot of different things going on. We're right now working on getting our picnic tables refinished. We're working on some projects, fixing a few things. We have a couple things that always need attention that we try and get done before the season so that we don't have to address them at that point. We're getting some of our little mules and stuff repaired and ready to go. So there's always something going on. Right now, this time of year, everybody says, well, what on earth do you guys do in the wintertime? But that's what we do. We spend a lot of time fixing things that get broken in the summertime, addressing issues to help prevent issues during the summertime when we're busy. And we're doing a lot of planning and a lot of training also.
I would think so. I am sure the winter seems short for you all. There's so much to do at a state park. So you're just working away and getting ready for the sunny summer, more campers. So lots to do. All right. Well, I want to thank Round Lake State Park employees, Mary McGraw, the park manager, Bart Gutke, ranger number one, and our newest ranger out there, Cole Ross. Thank you for joining us and giving us an update on what's happening. It's really great. And remember, folks, you can always go to their website or give them a call. Would you like to repeat that info?
You can call us at our park phone number. It's 208-263-3489. Or contact us via email, and that's at ROU. I don't email myself very often.
No,
ROU at idpr.idaho.gov. Or go on the state park's website, and there's direct contacts at that point.
And I bet you could Google Round Lake State Park and get your website in a second.
Yes.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you. We're going to go to a short song break, and then I'll be back with what's happening here at the radio station and what's happening out and about town this week. So here comes another song about all things.